Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. So what was that Friday? Just preseason game four or more?
It was kind of funny to me because the aftermath of that would be the Ravens winning their 20th consecutive pregame and the preseason game, and the pomp and circumstance that went with that. The Steelers clearly are not interested in such a streak. The preseason should be measured less by result and more by individual assignment completion. This really kind of goes in line with what Mike Tomlin often says, you know, the varsity versus the junior varsity performances. And I think the first thing he even said after that game was it was a junior varsity performance. From a team perspective, if we kind of put that to the side, I think that's fairly irrelevant. But what stuck out to me more than anything is the Steelers' offense, defense, and some of their special teams lost pretty much every situational opportunity that either of them had. And that oftentimes comes down to the individual. And when we're talking about the individual in a game like that, the first guy that you've got to point out is Dwayne Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
He was awful. I mean, really, the biggest misnomer I think that I saw anyway, the biggest reaction that I saw was he's going up against ones, or the play calling wasn't very good. The play calling is an issue in the preseason. None of that matters when you can't complete a simple swing pass to a fullback that's crossing your face. I mean, throws simple out routes, 5-7 yard out routes, he needs to be able to hit to stay in the NFL, let alone to be the backup, let alone to compete for a starting position at some point. He missed on everything. I don't know if he was too hyped up, if he made too much of it for himself mentally, but he wasn't sharp at all. Really a poor performance from him all around, and one that I feel really kind of takes away the idea that we can ignore his past struggles. We can ignore the bad film that he put out on the field in Washington. We have to look at what we saw, and we saw some good stuff from him for sure, but in his biggest moment, the biggest opportunity that he had, his longest, you know, continued stretch of playing, he was awful. He really did not make more than maybe 2-3 good throws, and he made probably 7 or 8 really bad ones. So that absolutely hurt. And from there, I think the defense really was playing for their own purposes. They weren't really matching up with the situation very well. We saw odd times to send blitzers. We saw kind of a, you know, different coverage packages that you're probably not going to see in those down and distances in the regular season. They're really just trying to work guys out in a live environment and see what they're capable of doing. So you've got to play well, though. You've got to be able to execute. And I didn't really see anybody on the field Friday night who executed very well.
Did I miss something? Or, like, you know, they said we was going up against the ones. In the regular season, don't you go up against the ones?
I think you do. That's a good strategy, at least. I think most of the NFL will employ that. Steelers, keep in mind, they don't even get the ones in traditional Cleveland and Cincinnati this year. You know, those are going to be better units. So top to bottom, yeah, I mean, Haskins, he's a far away call right now from a guy that you would feel okay with being on the field. And that really has kind of been the ceiling for his competition in Mason Rudolph. So that decision, if there really was a true competition, I take on the mentality of a champion versus challenger model. The challenger has to convincingly knock off the champion. And Haskins, if he had an opportunity to do that, and I could be talked into the possibility that if he tore it up in this last game, you might have more of a decision to make there. But the challenger absolutely did not unseat the champion in this case. And I don't know if there's even really a competition moving forward. It was that bad for him, in my opinion. He had the opportunity to make something of the position he was in, to make a strong step forward for what I feel his highest and best was moving into next season, more so than this year. This one's going to dog him for a while, I think. It's not perhaps a career ender. I don't think they're going to cut him, but it was pretty bad. They're further behind, I think, than many people would have thought that they would have been.
Actually, I was going to ask that. I mean, in terms of like him flirting with the cut line, you don't think he's flirting with it?
Here's the thing.
I mean, I know monetarily he's relatively cheap. I got that.
That ironically is his best asset. The lack of assets is his biggest value. with the expansion of the practice squad, they're still going to be at 16 this year, with the ability to put players, up to six players of 2 years or more experience, or more than 2 years of experience on the practice squad. I could see the team, if they really needed a roster spot somewhere, because also keep in mind, they can expand game day rosters up to 55. So they could theoretically put a quarterback on the practice squad in an effort to not pay him really more than anything and protect him and keep him there and use him as needed. I could see them wanting to use that in theory. I think in reality, it's you're really pinching pennies at that point. I don't think they need to do that with a quarterback position. They could keep him on the roster and not dress him on game days anyway. I think that's probably what they're going to do. If nothing else, keep him on the roster, keep him involved. Putting him on the practice squad isn't going to help. You got to keep in mind, he's on year-to-year contract. He doesn't have to sign next year in Pittsburgh. He's going to go restricted free agency. I'd imagine they're going to go whatever lowest tender they could to not have to pay him, but it's still going to be $2.5, $3 million, somewhere in there. But he might have an option. He might get another look somewhere else, and not putting him on your roster now might lead to that. They might not want to go down that route later. That would keep him on the roster, but none of that says we really want this guy. We see a bright future for him now. I'm not sure they're at that point. I think really he's going to be a cheap option who's started in the NFL before, and the Steelers really value backups who have starting experience. And right now that's Haskins, but he's no better than the three on that team.
Right. Okay. The Steelers had to play four preseason games, as did the Cowboys. Everybody else had to play three. Everyone says we're warping toward the possibility of two. As you're sitting there watching a fourth preseason game, it probably became obvious, like, who needs this? What number do you think is right, where you feel like, just in your observation, that that's just enough work that we get to see as opposed to other days?
I think it's up to the individual. I think if this is leading into T.J. Watt's situation, I think they know what they have with T.J. Watt. I think a player like Jameer Jones, who's probably the MVP of the preseason, I think they needed to get him as much work as possible. And every time that guy got on the field, he hit the quarterback. So it worked out well for him to have that level of exposure, those reps. Some guys are going to need that more than others. And I also think, and this is something that Tomlin has often done in the preseason, he runs the younger guys through the ground. You know, I remember it wasn't that long ago, T.J. Watt was a rookie. Bud Dupree was a rookie. Those guys played every snap of every game in the preseason. They needed reps. They needed work. Both of them were pretty raw coming out of college, and they needed, as many snaps as they could get to acclimate themselves to the as much of the pro game as they could see at that point. The counter to that would be Najee Harris, a player who didn't play at all in the last game. All signs indicate that he's probably a 250-plus touch guy this year. And in wake of J.K. Dobbins going down for the Ravens, you have to wonder, do you want the physical positions, your skill guys, going out there for reps that they may not need? Now, I'd argue that Harris was much further along in his development than, say, Dupree or Watt were when they were rookies.
Yes.
So the work might not be as necessary there. But, if you're John Harbaugh, you really want to win, you really want to win 20 consecutive preseason games, you put your running back out there, I guess. I don't know. But it depends on the situation. I'm of the belief, and this is the way that I was taught, you don't get better at the game of football by not playing it. So if it's a young guy that needs to work, value or not, he needs to work. Injury is always going to be a risk. There's no way to avoid that. Even if he doesn't play, he's going to have to play at some point. They gave him 2 days off after that game, and they're going to start into what's essentially a bye week now before the regular season week preparation starts. They have time to rest up and recover. And if a guy gets injured, Marcus Allen, for example, in a tough roster spot, it sounded like he tweaked the hamstring. That might put his job at jeopardy, but he needed to be out there to play, to show his worth and to get better. So it has to be taken situation by situation. And it's easy to look at all of that in, hindsight is 2020 view and say that, well, he shouldn't have been out there at all. they're out there for a reason. Injuries are the unfortunate, downside of all of that, but you can't ever plan for an injury anyway. You can't prepare for an injury. You've got to put your guys out there and you know, have them play 100% and go from there.
All right. So when you look at, this time between now and the opener, what does Mike Tomlin like to accomplish? And then the follow-up is, what is the status of T.J. Watt?
I think there are definite answers to both of that. I'll start with the Watt situation just because I think that if there is a domino effect to be had here, it's going to be with that. I think all signs have pointed strongly to there being a deal for Watt. Along with that, keep in mind this is also important. Everybody, the report that came out was that Watt wasn't going to have a contract until the preseason was over. Preseason is over, but they gave the team 2 days off following that. They haven't practiced yet. They're scheduled to practice today. I would imagine this is the day he's going to sign the contract.
Okay.
It would seem the most sensible now, because if you look at it minute to minute, he doesn't want to play preseason football. I get it. That makes sense for him, considering who he is and what he has at stake. What's the point of signing it on Saturday when he's not needed for anything until Monday anyway? He probably went home. He probably went back to Wisconsin and took 2 days off to hang out for a little bit. Then he'll come back. He'll sign the contract. He'll practice. That's today, tomorrow. This is really, like I said, this is a bye week anyway. They're not preparing for an opponent this week. They're just going to sharpen up. So it might be longer than today as well. That said, I'll spare you the gory details, but you can probably put Watt's contract somewhere in the range of about 5 years, $150 million, about $110 of that guaranteed. The structure of that is really kind of where the story is going to be, but that's going to be his contract. I would say his cap number this year is going to end up around 17.
Right.
Now that's a plus $7 million on what he already is costing. So take seven off of their cap. They have about $10 million in space. This is a team that tends to operate with about $4 to $7 million in space in a regular season. So I would think, and I'm obviously looking way down the line on this, I think that there's another signing or extension there for them that they could potentially undergo. And we've seen Kevin Colbert many times over the years. He loves August transactions. He's always active on the waiver wire, seeing who's going to be cut. Now, if final cuts are Tuesday, you're looking at the opportunity to see what else is out there in the rest of the league, who else they're going to get rid of. There might be a bargain in there for him. They might bring in a guy. A lot of people are talking about, perhaps cornerback depth. Shakur Brown, I think, was a kid that they hoped would have the opportunity to contribute a little bit this year. They cut him, rightfully so, in my opinion. He did not have a very good preseason. They might need some depth at a slot cornerback position. They might need a real pure slot cornerback. I'm not sure they have that. I do think, though, they want to get versatile with that. They don't necessarily have to have a veteran cover guy in that spot. They've loaded it up a bit. Antoine Brooks, before he was injured and released and put on IR, they had him lined up for that. That's a kind of a hybrid defensive back type in the slot to support around the line of scrimmage, to cover short, to be a more physical presence. But they don't have, I don't think Arthur Mollett is really a pure corner, a pure cover kind of guy. Like they've had in the past. I'm not sure they have that right now. The best option they have truly is probably Cam Sutton. So you put James Pierre on the outside. He's your nickelback. Sutton moves inside. That's one way to look at it. But Tomlin has referenced a couple times throughout camp the idea of a situational nickel, as in they have multiple guys that can play multiple roles with that fifth defensive back on the field. So I wouldn't be surprised if they look around the market to see if something's there. I don't know if they're targeting anything in particular, but if it's there, I wouldn't be surprised to see him make a move at that spot.
All right, back finally to quarterbacks. Everybody takes a different approach. We obviously have dissected the Steelers' approach repeatedly over the past month. But Brady played a little bit this weekend. A couple of other guys that were starters played a little bit this weekend. Some play them in the third. Some, some don't play them at all. How interested have you been by just the pure question of approach? Because, I mean, it's all personal taste, but just by everybody's approach.
I think it's interesting in the sense that you took we're used to four preseason games. You know, we're used to a real schedule with that. Depending on the status of the starter, that you could probably map out the types of situations that player was going to play in. But you mentioned Brady. Brady is the guy that would normally play in the third preseason game, right? That's the one that kind of your final dress rehearsal, as cliche, you know, as the cliche goes. There's certainly no rule set that has to be the case, but it does make logical sense. Without the fourth game, I think a lot of teams treated the third game like it was the third game, you know? So I don't know if they changed up a whole lot of stuff. This is the last one now, but it's serving more as this is the final tune-up, like we would have approached it as the third preseason game in the past. To reference it again, this is a bye week now. There's nothing going on this week before preparation begins for the regular season. So in reality, it matches up with the fourth preseason game if there was a week after that. That hasn't been the case in the past. So I think it made sense to get starters out for their third preseason game. The Steelers didn't follow that, I think, because they played four.
Right, exactly.
So Tampa Bay, it makes a lot more sense to have Brady playing in the third and then have 2 weeks off before he had to put on the pads in front of the stadium and get out and play again. You know, there's time in there to tweak and to rest and get ready to go. I think what you're asking essentially is what preseason game was eliminated? Was it the third one or was it the fourth one? And right. I think for the teams that played three preseason games, what we saw is they eliminated the fourth one. The starters played in their third game and now they have time to rest. I mean, the games that I watched, we saw, you know, pretty starter heavy for many of them. And that included Carolina. You know, their starting quarterback played what pretty much the whole first half, didn't he? Wasn't Darnold out there for a lot of that? You're going to mix in, you know, guys here and there, and I get that. But by and large, it was still kind of viewed as a tune-up for their starters leading into the regular season.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Try to stay dry. Appreciate it.
Definitely, I'm going to. It's been crazier the last couple days, so hopefully we'll get some sun out here and enjoy the bye week before the real work starts.
Sounds great. Thanks, Neil.
Yep, thanks for having me.